everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of the One Cup Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and front man, and happy International Podcast Day. And for those of you out there who have not yet heard about this day, it's a celebration of not just listening to podcasts, but making podcasts. And for more information, I would recommend all of you pointing your web browsers to internationalpodcastday.com for more information. But it's a way for us to kind of learn, podcasters to come together, learn a little bit more, share information, respect the hustle and flow that the big guys and the little guys and gals like us do on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis. And for those of you out there, doing this is very hard work. And even though we have a GoFundMe, I'm not going to plug it here. I will say if you do want to help the show, a link to a way to help the show will be in the show's description. But, I am here to tell you that this week is, as much as all of you kind of either like them or hate them, we do have another Eastern Panhandle Paracon panel for you today. And that is Anthony and Dina Holmes. Their panel was called Thinking Outside the Box. And it's pretty interesting. It's a little bit about spirituality and kind of actually what the title says, Thinking Outside the Box. That being said, let me go into our standard disclaimers about the panel episodes that we tend to put out. And that is, one, the content that we are sharing, note I said that word, sharing, is not in any way, shape, or form related to the show. It's not our, even though we are sharing it as content, it is not our original content. It is their presentation, their content, and their opinions. And therefore, we are sharing this for all of you out there. To all of you out there, because there are some of you that live in places like Oregon or Florida, or I'd normally say Wyoming, but Wyoming does not exist. But like Montana or Maine or Canada or places across the sea, like maybe Japan or England or France, that you guys and gals can't, from those distances, can't come to a local convention like the Eastern Panhandle Paracon or any convention panel that we offer up to all of you. So this is our way of bringing the convention to you. And we do understand that there are some who live locally, for whatever reason, can't make it to a convention like this. So that's why we try to, at times, record panels to bring them to you. That way, you could share in the experience too. But if you are able to make it to a convention such as the Eastern Panhandle Paracon or a Four State or a local beer festival or so forth and so on, we recommend you do so, because these folks are local and the money stays local. And they're pretty fun and pretty interesting. Now, number two. This is one of the few panels, if not the only panel, we did not cut anything out from. So this is the panel in its entirety. But we did boost a few sections here and there because they were a little bit lower than average. Anthony primarily used the PA system microphone, so I could not boost everything to the point of total upscale. I couldn't raise it to a 10 or 11 because of that, and it is due to mostly because where the panels were recorded at, because it was the size of a football field, if not two football fields. There was a lot of echo and you know, it just kind of absorbed, didn't really absorb the sound that well, I should say. There was a lot of room for the sound to kind of spread out and just drop off. So I do thank Anthony and Deanna for using the PA system mic. That way, it made things a little bit easier and you can enjoy their panel. I do recommend trying to increase the volume on your device to make sure you are able to hear things clearly and easily. But that is it. There's not much more we can say other than we thank Anthony and Deanna for allowing us to record their panel. And what else? And stay tuned to after the panel so we can give you some additional information and the closeout things. So stay tuned, and here is the panel.
All right, well, let's get started. How y'all doing? Good? Everybody doing all right? You hear me good? All right. So, well, actually, today has been a good day. Number one, we woke up this morning, right? So, therefore, we're happy for that. And actually, today is the first paranormal event at the Roundhouse. So, this is the first kickoff. So, normally, when something is first, you always might have some kinks or stuff like that that you gotta iron out, but expect that because that's normal. So here we are at the Roundhouse. I thank y'all for whoever's been here for the longest and hanging in here all day and sticking around. And Rebecca was a speaker before me. She was good. Y'all missed it. Paranormal 101 should have been here. Other speakers were before me and stuff like that. And also, Rebecca has an investigation tonight here, so if anyone want to sign up for it, Rebecca and Jeremy, raise your hand. They're right there, and you will have a great time. And and we also got to get them to the mansion. So, let me introduce ourselves. First, my name is Anthony Holmes. This is my wife, Dina Holmes. And the name of our group, we're a husband and wife team. And this thing is big. Let me move. It's the Divine Research Society of Unexplained Phenomena. And the reason why we picked that thing, because we want to be able to do all kinds of things. We don't want to be linked to just ghosts, per se. We want to do it all. You know, you call me and say, hey, I saw a leprechaun in my closet. I mean, hey, we're coming and see what's going on. I mean, it might not be nothing. You might have had too much cocoa puffs or something, but we'll come and check you out and see what's going on and see what we can do. But what we try to do is anything. You don't want to be tied into one name, because sometimes you can get bored doing just one thing all the time. And I'm not the type to try to do one thing. I get bored quick, so I like to move and do stuff like this, you know. But I never thought I would be doing this ever. I'm like, wow, who ever heard of Ghost Brothers, you know, the guys that's on TV, they're kind of comical. They are. But for me, I could see myself doing something else. I tell you, it ain't a secret, but number one, I'm an African-American. I never thought I'd be doing this. And number two, we always the first ones to go into Marvel movies. We always, like, gone. So that's another reason why. But I'm like, okay, so I'm in this now, and I'll say, okay, I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do, you know. So we got started, and I got started about 8 years or so ago, and I said, well, let me just really see what this is about. And coming up in a paranormal, per se, I didn't really know what it was. My first scare tactic when I was little, you know, seeing things happen. And one thing that happened, I was in New Jersey, and my aunt was in the kitchen downstairs cooking. I said, well, let me go upstairs and use the bathroom, and I'll be back. She said, okay. And when I turned around the corner and went up the steps, she was up the steps looking down at me with a crazy grin. I was about probably 6. And the thing about that is, it's only one way out of the kitchen and one way in. I was the first one out of the kitchen. So, heck no, she ain't come up those steps before me because I was there. So I got freaked out and did what I guess you call it Superman. Jumped the heck down the steps. And this same family member every time I'm over their house, there's a lot of negativity in the house. And I have another family member, uncle of mine. I love him dearly, but he's into the dark arts. And he used to come over the house and do these types of meditations and mantras and ceremonies and stuff that I was understanding a little bit, but it wasn't good. And every time he left, there was crazy stuff happening in the house. And everywhere I went there that they lived at, there was always stuff going on. So I grew up and him, he was like my favorite uncle. I'm a musician, I'm a drummer. He taught me drumming. So I went to West Africa with him. I learned traditional drumming and I drummed for many ceremonies and stuff that I really didn't understand, but you don't want to understand it. It's terrible. And the thing about these third world countries is that the paranormal to them is a daily life. They live it. The U.S. is so-so, whatever. In Africa, India, places like India, they worship like millions of different gods. Africa, the same thing. Africa, they have you on the gin and stuff like that. So this, their lifestyle, they believe in it. And when you see the stuff happen every day, it's normal to them because they live it. And the thing about it, you do something to someone in these countries, they're not going to call the police. They're going to go to their house, do something, and you might wake up tomorrow. That's how they roll. They ain't going to shoot you. They ain't got time for all that stuff. They're going to just do something, take 5 minutes, and take you out. Thank God that what happens here is not right there. So that's another thing that got me interested into the paranormal. So I said, well, let me start doing this. And I started doing paranormal. First group I was with is Inspired Ghost Tracker. And learned a lot from them and did a lot of things. And then I got bored. I said, so, if this is all there is to it, why the heck am I just stay and do this? And I said, well, let me think of something else. So that brings me to what I was going to talk about just a little bit, is thinking out the box. You know, we all get used to doing stuff that we've always done and that everyone else has done in the same old way they do it. And it's like, you know, why? What's the purpose? You know. So when you think out the box, you think about different other things that you can do. You can still do it with a paranormal, but think of different stuff. You know, don't think that the only time you got to do an investigation is when you're with a group doing an investigation or something like that, and you want to pay a bunch of money and sign up and go. You know, get your little equipment and stuff, get your butt out there in the woods somewhere, and just do some stuff. Go to the cemetery. I'm going to talk about that later, too. Go there, run a recorder and stuff like that and see what's going on. But one thing we don't do is run a recorder in our own house. If you don't want to know what's in your house, don't do it. If you do want to know what's in your house, then that's on you. You know, but we'll be the ones called after you do it and to come in and see what's going on. We have actually brought stuff home with us. I get into that later, but thinking out of the box, how many of you guys into the paranormal? I know some people are. How many of you are in investigating stuff like that? How many of you, that's all you do? You could get tired at times, you know. So, that brings us to the name of us, Divine Research Society of Unexplained Phenomena, because we do squatching. We are also part of MUFON, which is one of the largest UFO networks in the U.S. We do that, skywatching. And anything else that has to do with it, you know. It could be serious, it could be not serious, you know. And I tell people all the time, I had an investigation last night, and one thing I explained to them was, when you're on an investigation, don't expect something to happen every second. If you really heavy in the paranormal shows, you will see activity after every commercial. As soon as the show go off and the commercial come on, it's something else that happened. And I'm like, whoa, really? I have a problem with that. I'm okay that you're on TV and stuff like that, but don't let me find out that's all you do. If you got on a show and say, I'm an investigator, and I do this, and I do that, and I know you, and I meet you, and I ask you how you've been doing, and the only investigation you talk about is what you did on TV. Do something off the set. That let me know you're serious. You know, go do an investigation off the set. We have a heart for privates, helping people, especially when they have kids. Kids to us is very important, so we deal with that too. But try to think outside the box, you know, because if I have my slideshow with me, I don't, but I have a slide that says, try to think outside the box because you have plenty of time to think in the box. And it's a picture of a casket. If you wait so long, you know, you're going to end up in that casket. And I don't want to be doing an EVP on you. So, you know, you got plenty of time to think now what you want to do and stuff like that. You know, you don't necessarily need a group, you know, if you were solo. Buy your little recorder, it's not expensive. Don't spend a lot of money for this stuff. You know, just do some stuff. Get into something that's going to get you really, really interested in what you're doing. And that was me. We got bored when I got married, and she was the biggest skeptic. Oh my gosh. You know, she was one of the, she sees some of the stuff on TV, and I tell her, you're going to have an experience one day. So we went to Connecticut, and we spent a lot of time there with the rain room. And we were at Union Cemetery, and I was way on the other side, and then she was way over there. And I kind of looked way on the other side, and she looked at me. Something touched her, was doing something, freaked her out. And I went over there, and she was so shooken up, you know, and I said, what's going on? I got touched. It's her first time ever having an experience. And I was just like, it happens, you know. And then now, even when we get stuff in the house, you get on, you get this thing out. And me being a man, I'm like, all right, we get it, right. You know, I'm watching TV. And she said, yeah, get it out. And we end up getting it out and stuff like that. But that's some of our journeys and stuff like that. We have a whole lot more stuff going on. But it's important for us to just think about different things in our lives and do what we do well. You know, learn some things. Don't be afraid to read a book. You know, and don't read a book that just because you read a book you think you're a demonologist. Or just because you met someone and you say, okay, I got their book, and you read it how-to, and you think you're a demonologist or something like that. Don't how-to be unless you got in a situation and actually did it more than one time. Then, you know, you should know what you're doing. And if not, don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask. So, thinking out the box, I said, okay, well, since I want to get into all this crap, I want to know what I'm doing. So, me and my wife both did studies. I did studies on demonology, UFO, ufology, near-death experiences, squadron, you name it, I did it. If it was weird, we did study it, read it, and try to practice and see what was going on. And for research, I was going to go to New York to the Church of Satan and just sit in his video. But then I started looking at some footage of something. That to someone that looked like another horror movie to me, and I don't want to be first out. But don't get into the stuff unless you're serious, unless you're really serious. You know, thinking out the box is good, but it brings me to another point, which is, what is your motive? You know, everyone has a motive, and your motive either kills you or it makes you good. What is your motive? We got so many people in a paranormal field with the motive just so screwed up. You know, so many adults in the field act like kids, you know. It's like, what's going on? You get into big arguments and you're posting your whole argument on Facebook. Inbox it. Why you gotta show the world? You know, no one's really listening. They ain't even fool. You know, it's like, learn something. You know, being an adult about what you do. You know, when you get with these teens and stuff like that and you feel you want to do a career, but they not really about it. It's just not a big ring. It just backs you up. It's like, okay, there's no seriousness here. So it's good to really, really research where you're going, who you're going to be with, and stuff like that. How many of you know Dave Giuliano? You know Dave? Good friend of mine. We went to a conference, and a good message he spoke on was called, the most serious, hard-worst thing about an investigation is the other investigator. And which is good. And he was coming from a standpoint of pride. Meaning you got a lot of people on homes and try to do things. And then, like, we've had a lot of pride because teens went in and screwed it up. So they just leave them where they are. And and then cause. And then that brings to the point where it's though, if you want to do an investigation on the private, don't just do it to get your evidence and leave and leave the family hanging. That's wrong. Stay home. You're not helping. You know, go in. If you're going to go in, help the people. Help them. And sometimes privates don't last an hour. You know, people think you go in and some are quick, but some are like months. You know, dealing with the rain and stuff, you got stuff that's months. And stuff that's stuff going on in there. It's hard hitting no one to leave. And you just got to be patient. That's the number one thing. And work with people and stuff like that. So be encouraged if y'all want to get into investigating. Just the buildings and the places, that's good. But if you want to do privates, really know that that's what you want to do. Because if not, you're going to hurt that family. And you don't want to have that tag on your back. And so I also did some stuff with Auntie Jeremy and Becky and stuff like that. They live right around the corner. We neighbors. Then me and my wife was talking, and we always want to do stuff, something as a husband and wife team. You know, that way you can, it's just us. We do stuff. And the best thing, and I know Jeremy can relate to this, is for investigating, is that if you're doing an investigation and your wife is an investigator, you ain't got to worry about being home at a certain time. None of that stuff. Is she right beside you? You can just stay as long as you want. Get done, go to Waffle House, and go back and do something else. You're not on a time clock because she's right beside you. So that's another thing. Having a good investigating partner or friend that you can do these things with. You know, so I'm just rambling. I'm gonna talk. I need to get back. And notes. Don't y'all hate notes? Who invented this stuff? It's like, read your notes. But that came to mind to me, thinking out the box. Why should we think outside the box? And how many of you remember that monkey, Curious George? That's another reason why, because we're curious people. We want to be curious about everything. And then another thing that is spectacular is that we are first a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in the body. Being the point that we're first a spirit being, you want to know about that brain that you're actually from, and that it is your original state of being. That's why so many people are curious about getting into it, learning this and learning that and stuff like that. And it's good to know it, but if you want to know that stuff, learn about you, the person, your spirit being first, before you go into the other stuff. And then when you do it, the reason why it's dangerous is because us being spiritual beings, I say we're being spiritual beings in an earthly planet, trying to get an earthly experience, but we're really spiritual beings. Know what you're doing, because there are other things in those dimensions that like to be stupid bullies at times, like to mess us up, meaning negative entities and things of that nature. So when it comes to doing investigations, we're very huge on when it comes to protection, because we've done some stuff that weren't protected, and all kinds of stuff, you know, happened to us, and we like to tell things from experience, you know. And we had two experiences, one at Ohio State Infirmary, that's where they filmed Shawshank Redemption, and I don't get freaked out, but it freaked me out, you know, I was ready to go. We were at one end of the cell block, and way west wing, right? Way down by the end. It was these red eyes. And I know y'all hear that stereotype, but I never thought I experienced it. It was these red eyes. I didn't know what the heck it was. I said, okay, so it's not a raccoon because it's too big. This thing was taller than me. And I was sitting at the camera and I was looking, and it was looking at me. And it walked real slow looking at me, and it went into the corridor and disappeared. So I got nervous, and I was looking at the walls, making sure no crawlers or anything coming. And we waited a while, and I said, well, let's walk down that end and see what's down there. And we went and looked. You couldn't go nowhere with me, right? It was just a dead end. So it went through and went about its business. But it stuck around the whole night, because my wife got an attachment that night. We brought home, didn't want to. And also, we got a lot of EVPs when we weren't doing EVPs. I was sitting at the camera, and I asked, I said, how high should I go? And it said a little bit lower. She heard it. It's a class A. It's crystal clear. And she heard it with her earphones on. She was like, I said, whoa. And then we got another one. After that incident creeped me out, we got the EVP, and it's a class A2. And I said, well, let's go to the other side of the cell phone. I think we're going to get out of there. And when we listened to the EVP, we just let the recorders run. You hear me say, okay, let's go to the other side of the cell block and say, come on back. And that freaked her out, too. I was glad we were out of there. But we did a good cleansing in our own house and took care of that stuff. But it brought us to the attention because we didn't do no protection in the beginning. And we always do that before we start. But we didn't. We just went in our shop, did what we did, and that happened. Same thing happened at St. Arnold's. I had a tour out of the attic. A lot of stuff going on in the attic. A friend of mine, James, he got possessed in St. Arnold's and started throwing chairs. So, you know, all this stuff going on, and it all boils down to being protected and being strong in your beliefs and knowing, you know, you have to really believe in what you believe to really protect yourself. Because that's where everybody screw up. These things and you're not protected. And it's just like this. How many of y'all are afraid to go in these terrible neighborhoods? I am. Big time. I come from them. I know. And it's two things that we look for when we go into a neighborhood. A way out real quick and something to carry for protection. And also, if you're a police officer, you go into these homes where there's trouble. You have a gun, you have a baton, all kinds of stuff. But what do you really got for the time? People going in these places and going in these homes without protection half the time. And wondering why they're getting screwed up. So just a simple prayer. Protection helps. That's another thing. So we studied on that and stuff like that. And it'll also make you a better person because sometimes you have to make that a lifestyle. Because you need that not just for the paranormal, but you need that for everyday life. You know, and you don't know when you're going to get in the next accident. Anything, you need these things. And a lot of stuff, you need to make a lifestyle. So that way, you know, you're sure that you're okay and that you're protected. And, but Father's Investigations and thinking outside the box, we've done all those things. You know, we want to continue to do them. If it's something we don't know, we say, hey, let's see what this is about and do it and not be ashamed. And another thing, us paranormal investigators and stuff, we're family. You know, a lot of people don't act like we're family, but we're all in for the same reason, to do the same stuff. Don't be afraid to ask someone if you don't know something, you know? If you don't know it, ask. You'll get a yay or a nay. I mean, it shouldn't hurt you if they don't tell you. They might not know. But ask a lot. I used to ask people all the time. You know, stuff happened, I call the right name. What's this mean? What's that? You know, no, this means that. I said, okay. This stuff, it's just a trip. It's just a trip. How many of y'all investigated this place before? You? You the only one? It's nice. It's nice. It's big. It's a lot to do. And there is a skunk roaming around here all the time. So beware of skunk. If you are here, if you saw one last night at the house, it would be in his head. I didn't talk to nobody, you know. But in our journeys, this is what we do. And we all in it together to help each other and to do a lot of things. And if you just get into it, like Rebecca was speaking on 101, know what you're doing. You know, so many people go into a paranormal immature. They don't know what they're doing. You know, you ask them what this equipment is, what that is, and they don't know. You don't have to start off with all the big stuff. You know, we got some big stuff, Wonder Box, stuff like that. You don't have to do that. Go to Best Buy, get you a little digital recorder or something. You know, I like the cassette tape recorders. You can't really edit those. If you get something on that, you got some. You know, start off small. Watch your spending on your equipment because there's tons of it and it will work you. You buy one thing, then you buy another, then you buy another, then you buy another, and then all of a sudden you'll be broke. And I'm just going along so these dancers can get in here and kind of change everything. But just remember to think outside the box, think differently. Do things differently. Help one another. Be be a team, be a family. You know, we're not out to hurt everybody. We're out to help everybody, you know. If you got someone that you used to be friends with and you're not, go to them. Say, hey, mend your relationship. That's what it's about. Stop all the crazy stuff. We're too old for that, right? That's for kids. We're rascals or something. But all the time we do things, we think about life. Especially me now. On Christmas Day, I had a stroke. And if you see me, I don't know what I had. I thought that was it. I was in a house from, December 25th? Hospital from December 25th to probably February or something. Middle of February. My stroke came from the back of my head and cerebellum. So I didn't know how to walk. I couldn't eat for 2 to 3 weeks. They put a pig line in me. That was fun. I didn't know what it was until they took it out. And they was, I thought it was a little IV. Oh, no, dude. This thing went in the air, went down my arm all the way to my heart. And then the nurse, cuckoo, gonna say, you want to see it? No. I don't want to see that crap. This ain't fair. Don't show me that. Just do what you got to do and go. Bring me some food. So, but it scared me. And I thought that was the end for me. I really thought it was the end. So what I did was, I started thinking about my life then, really. I was like, you know, if this is it for me, did I do everything I'm supposed to do? I don't want to start thinking in the box, I'm going to cast it. Like, did I do everything I'm supposed to do? Or how have I been a teacher? You know, how have my life been? Me being a Christian, special. I'm like, you know, am I ready for this? You know, I'm not ready for this. My wife is with me every day. You know, I was at Holy Cross. That's way up the roadway. She came every day after work from Jamestown. I had to stay home. But she was hard-headed. She came every night. Every night for almost that whole 2 months or so. And was by my side. And, guess who? I got a visitor from. The uncle I was telling you about to go on crazy stuff. We was in he was sick. So I didn't think he was coming back. He just called, check out. And it was late. It was about 10 o'clock. The morning hospital in the dark. And my wife was there, and he could walk with my dad on the door. And I knew that he had a sleep. He always doing something. He was going to leave something in my bed or something, thinking it's going to work something. No. But he saw my wife. So his whole attitude changed. He started talking about family. But if she wasn't there, it would have been harder because I wasn't in a condition to protect myself. I was so weak and out of it. And I was there when I did. And thank God she was there and stuff, so that switched the whole subject. And I'm like, wow, thank you. But that stroke really brought me to think about my life, all the way up to dealing with the paranormal as well. And I was like, oh my God, so is this the end for me? And I was wondering if I could change, you know, all the prayers helped. Hospital rehabilitation center. I'm doing well. This whole right side is still kind of not maintaining, but I'm getting better. And the strange thing about it is that we had a private the day after I had my stroke. So that was why this private jacked up. And then when I started getting better, I wanted to go still help the lady. Because in the condition I was in, they would probably try to really, really do some stuff to me. And I said, well, I need to really think about this stuff. If I'm going to continue doing this, I need to think about first my life. Because if I get my life together and straight, and my life is doing what it should do, then that's going to flow all the way from here to that through the paranormal. And therefore, when how my life is, that's what's going to happen on a year's own. And I said, okay, well, that's what I need to do. So things are really weird. I thank God that he brought me through that stroke because I really, really 100% thought that that was the end of me. And I don't think I was ready. I would have been before that time hit me. Right then and there, I really didn't think that was ready. So it's best I really, if you ain't doing nothing else, think about you the person. And if you think about you the person, it's going to run down from you all the way through what you do in life, all the way to your investigating, all the way to your attitude with people, how you treat people, and everything else. And it's so funny because I had a stroke. Somebody else was in the hospital. Right? And Lorraine Warren's son-in-law was in the hospital. And everything. So I always thought about coming up with a team called You Almost Made It. I mean, You Almost Didn't Make It. Didn't worry about the sugar experiences about that. You know, but it freaked me out. I don't want to go through that again because I thought that was it. And it really shook me up bad. And doing what I do and in the position I was in the state that I'm in, it really, really jacked me up. So I thank God for protecting me and opening my eyes in that area and stuff of that nature. And so I want you guys to really think about your life. And I have my wife come up and read something in a little bit. And how many of y'all go to cemeteries and hang out? Okay, I used to too. I've been to so many. We had a nice one by the house I used to go to all the time. There are things that people don't think about when they're in the cemetery. And it's good being an investigator that I'm going to leave it with you so that every time you're in the cemetery, that you think about it. Every time you see this, you open your daggone eyes and think about it because it's going to really touch your heart on how you should really be until that's it for you. So I have a reading to you. It's called The Dash. And I let my wife read it to you real quick.
Okay, so this is The Dash. I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke of the following date with tears, but said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time they spent alive on earth, and now only those who love them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we lived and loved and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that still can be rearranged. To be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that the special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is read with life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you lived your dash? And that's by Linda Ellis.
Yeah. And I know all of y'all saw that dash. You see the date, the dash, and then the end date. Forget the beginning date. Forget the end date. Look at the dash. Because the dash represents you in the now. How you spending it, you know. And therefore, it'll be a constant reminder to all of us because we're always hanging out in cemeteries, looking at the cemetery. But now, hopefully, just stick in your mind that when you see that dash, it'll bring it to your remembrance. And then you understand and start thinking about really your life. Therefore, if you get your life together, and then everything that follows that, in everything you do, investigating, anything you do, it will be good. Because you have that constant reminder of the dash. And that's it. I could go on for 5 hours, but they're waiting. Thank y'all for listening. It's like I had a lot of notes, but I kind of got off of the notes, and every time you write notes, you don't read them. And I think Rebecca did, though. She stuck with them boys, and that was good. I stick with them for a few paragraphs, and then I'd start going that way and stuff like that. But thank you so much for coming to the conference and being a part of it. Just remember the dash. And I wish I knew this before I had the stroke, because then I think my life would have been in order. But now that I've read it, it sticks with me every day, to the point that I go to all these little cards for the dash and stuff like that. And when I go to funerals and I talk to families and stuff, I give them that little reminder. I say, okay, it's time to think about him or you or stuff. Therefore, then we can go there. Thank you. But we got the witch dancers next. So if y'all want to stick around, and I'm going to hook the music up. My wife is already doing it. And get them to doing their thing. Appreciate it.
Well, that's the end of the panel. I hope all of you enjoyed it, so welcome back. And that being said, if you have any questions, comments, or anything else concerning the panel, International Podcast Day, or anything else for that matter, please email the show at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Or you can leave a message on any of our social media platforms like Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. Our Facebook page, as always, is facebook.com/The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Our Twitter handle is the same as our Instagram handle, and both of which are Long Coat Mafia. We do have a YouTube page. Just search for Long Coat Mafia Podcast and we will come up. Let's see. What else? Donating to the show. If you do care to donate to the show, you can do so by going to our GoFundMe page at GoFundMe.com/help. Just search for Help the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It should come up. Link will be in the kind of the show description down below, as well as links to both Anthony and Donna's respective web pages, if they have one. So that's that. Let's see what else. If you don't want to do our GoFundMe, donating to our GoFundMe, and prefer something like PayPal, please let us email the show, and I'll let you know how to do that. So, let's see, what else? That seems to be about it for right now. We do have an event that we are going to later in October, which is the 4-State Comic-Con, which is, I think, October 20th. I should be making a Facebook event in regards to that and sharing it out. So I hope you all have a wonderful week and you, again, enjoy this panel. And see you all next week. As for what's coming out next week, only the shadow knows, because not even I know what I might be putting out week to week. We still have maybe 3 or 4 more panel episodes to release, so that's that. So take care, everyone, and again, have a great week.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.